message today. Okay, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm up here this morning, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel kind of naked this morning because I don't have my Bible. I don't have anything up here with me. I'll tell you, and you probably don't have a church bulletin, and here's the reason why. We accidentally, and we don't know how this happened. This is the first time this has ever happened, but we accidentally locked both doors to the office, to the church office, and so that happened probably yesterday, and I think I might have been the one that accidentally did it. And I found out that I do have a key to my office that's in the church office, but I don't have a key to the other two doors that go into the office. And so we're going to have to get that, and that's why you don't have a church bulletin this morning. But thankfully, I had everything on the PowerPoint, so I've got Travis and Carrie back there helping me out with the PowerPoint this morning. But we've been in this series, and if you haven't been here, we've been in a series called The Overcoming Life. And if you haven't been here, that's okay, because each message is a standalone message, so you haven't missed anything. It's not like one of those series that builds upon the last message. And so every Sunday, we've been talking about something that we need to overcome as Christians, as believers, that the Lord will help us. And we can't do these, what I've been teaching on, we can't do this in and of ourselves. We have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. And I have saved the hardest for last to talk about today, and this is the last of this series. But it's also the easiest if we will allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our lives. And the title of this message is Overcoming Unforgiveness. How many of you ever have had unforgiveness issues? I have. I'm just being honest. And if you're living and breathing, and the ones that didn't raise your hands, I know in your hearts you were raising your hands. I know that. Because we have all dealt with this issue. Everybody has. You deal with it. I've dealt with it in the church with Christians and outside of the church and everywhere in life, in business, in family, everywhere. And so I'm going to start off with this scripture. This has kind of been our scripture, the theme scripture for this whole series is 1 John 5:4. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Look at somebody and says your faith. Look at somebody and say your faith overcomes. Your faith is what helps you overcome. You have got to have not only you, but you've got to have the Holy Spirit's help to help overcome. Last week we talked about overcoming rejection. And here's what I want to tell all of us today, including myself. We're not called to cope. We are called to conquer and overcome. And everybody said, amen. All right, go to the next slide. I'm going to have to say, here's the main question regarding forgiveness. What is my motive? We're talking about forgiveness today and unforgiveness. If your honest response is God's glory and the good of everyone involved, then your heart is right. If your motive is revenge or vindication, then it's likely based in unforgiveness, and we don't want to go there. Okay? All right, go to the next slide. Here's some forms of unforgiveness. And this is not an exhaustive list, but this captures quite a bit of them. Revenge, which can go into murder, violence, abuse, hate, verbal abuse, slander, gossip, sarcasm, labeling, name-calling, divorce, rejection, and avoidance for punishment's sake. You just, reject people and avoid them. So you play the silent treatment with them just to punish them. Withholding good. Transference of affection, so you're playing favorites. Prejudice, bigotry, racism, or sexism. Bitterness, internally wishing for bad things to happen to someone. Here's the deal. And I'm going to get real honest. If you don't know me, I'm a real honest, transparent teacher of the Word of God. Everybody in here at one time in your life had a little torture chamber in your heart for people. And I call it the go to hell list. And we've all had it. We all have dealt with that. We internally wishing for bad things to happen to someone. And then also praying against someone. And that's there are people that do that. I mean, we curse each other in our thoughts and in our speech and things like that. Christians cursing Christians. That's not right. Amen. We need to be blessing each other. All right, go to the next slide. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Because I was thinking, okay, there's a lot of scriptures about forgiveness in the Word of God, but I want to go to what Jesus taught about forgiveness. And this happens in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, and it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" And here's Peter thinking, "Man, I'm gonna show Jesus how good a forgiver I am. 'Up to seven times.' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, Peter, but up to 70 times seven.'" And basically what that means, that number is equivalent to eternity. I don't want you to forgive people for eternity. Okay, go to the next one. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." And so Jesus goes into this parable and he says, "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And I studied this out, and this is equivalent in our day and age money-wise. That would be equivalent to $3 billion with a B, okay, $3 billion. "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." Okay, get this, forgave him of $3 billion of debt. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii." And this was, okay, this was equivalent to $10,000, okay, from $3 billion to $10,000. "And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, $3 billion, because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you that owed you $10,000? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." All right, go to the next slide. In this parable, there's three shocking truths concerning unforgiveness that the Lord Jesus points out. And number one, it is shocking how seriously God takes the issue of unforgiveness. It's huge. It's a big deal to God. He basically says, if you don't forgive, then you're stopping me from forgiving you. You're stopping the flow of grace through your own life if you don't forgive. And I'm going to tell you guys, unforgiveness is, it's hard on us. We weren't made to hate people. God made us in his image to love people. Amen? Amen. And if you carry hate in your heart and that unforgiveness and that bitterness and that resentment, and you go to bed with that and you just keep stewing on those things, it affects you. It affects you spiritually. It affects you emotionally. It affects you mentally. It affects you physically. People get sick. It can be traced back to unforgiveness, sickness, and disease. It's a big deal. It affects you relationally. It just affects every area of your life. I've had situations, and I'll just give you a little example. I've had situations happen to me. I mean, most of you know I'm a real estate agent as well, and so I'm bivocational. I work outside the church. I do church things. I do things outside these four walls. And I was looking back there at Scott Meyer, and I'll never forget their little boy, Tristan. Never forget that one time he saw me. He saw me outside the four walls at the church one day when he was a little bitty guy, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Why ain't you at church?" He thought I just lived at church all the whole time. It was funny. And so, but I'm out there dealing with people just like you guys are, and sometimes people rub me wrong. And I had somebody rub me wrong this week. Am I preaching to anybody today? Okay. And two things happened that I've noticed in my own life, and I'm telling this so Jada knows as well, and she knows this about me. We've been married long enough that she understands some things now, and I understand more about her as well. But two things happen that I've noticed about me when I come home, and I've got to, this is why you have to deal with offenses, deal with hurts, deal with unforgiveness every day, every day. You got to deal with it daily. Don't let it build up. But I had something happen, and I came home, and I noticed that I was a little short with Jada. And I was even, there was times I wasn't even talking to her just because I was in my mind. She was taking it as I'm not talking to her, but I'm still stewing about something that happened at work when I was at work, and I didn't really want to share it with her because I didn't want her to pick up my offense. I didn't want to share it with her, and then she get offended with me, and then it's all, you know, then we're having a little pity party together. But I'm trying to process it myself, but I should have had it all processed before I came home. And there's been times where I've been short with Jada, and she'll say, "Honey, is everything okay? You know, she's, you know, did something happen today?" And it's amazing how things happen to us, and then we take it out on those that are closest to us. Amen? We got to stop doing that. We've got to deal with stuff every day, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. So it's shocking how serious God takes that. And then here's the scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27. God says, be angry. So you can be angry, but he says, don't sin when you're doing it. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So don't go to bed angry, nor give place to the devil. And this is what I'm saying. If you go to bed angry, if you go to bed with hurts and offenses and resentment and bitterness, and you're not taking care of them every day, then you've been deviled. I was going to title this, "You've Been Deviled," when you're doing this, and you cannot do that. I mean, I've shared this as a joke, but this is actually happening in our household. If you're married, you may understand this. I've went to bed angry at Jada and turned my back to her, and then Jada will tap me on the back and she said, "Sun's go," and she uses scripture against me, and she says, "Sun going down," and I'm like, "Yeah, it's down, and it'll come up tomorrow, but I'm still mad at you," you know. And how many can hold grudges in here? Is it just me? You know, you like to hold those grudges, and guys, I'm telling myself today, we have got to deal with this stuff every day, or you have been deviled. You have been deviled, and it affects you in every area of your life. Okay, the next slide. And this is serious business with God, because in Matthew 6, verse 15, he says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's a serious deal to God. And it's not that God doesn't love you or anything. He's just saying when you hold unforgiveness towards others, then I can't flow through your life like I want to, my flow of grace. All right, next slide. Number two, it is shocking how petty unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. That's why Jesus used this outrageous example in this parable when he was teaching the people that day. When they heard him teach that, I know we don't understand talents and denarii and all that, but that's what it's equivalent to, $3 billion versus $10,000. And they were like, oh my gosh, you know, that guy should have forgave that $10,000 like it was a dollar bill in that situation. So it's shocking how petty unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. All right, number three. Number three, it is shocking how different we are from God regarding forgiveness. We were created in our image, so we can do this, but we have to have the Holy Spirit's help, and that's why Jesus sent the Comforter to help us to walk in love and forgiveness. This is in Psalms 103, the scriptures here, verses 8 through 14, talking about how gracious our God is. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, amen to that, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God is a gracious God, amen? And he wants us to be gracious people. Okay, next. Here's the B. If you're taking notes, this is an outline. This is understanding the meaning of forgiveness. When God's talking about us, when he's telling us to forgive, there's three things that go with this. Permanently, I'm not talking temporarily, this is a permanent thing. Permanently forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero. Not hanging something over somebody's head. Well, remember 10 years ago when you did this to me? We're permanently removing that, forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero. Number two is permanently forfeiting the right of reproach. So we're not going to talk about them. We're not going to get back at them. We're not going to get revenge. We're not going to get vindication, all those kind of things. You know, we're keeping score. We're permanently forfeiting the right of reproach. Number three is permanently foregoing all expressions of private and public judgment. It's one thing where people, you know, they walk around in public and smile at you and all that, and act like they have forgiven you, but privately they're throwing stones at you. So we have to do this. It's private and public because God knows the heart. Amen. All right, next slide. And this is C, what forgiveness does not mean. I wanted to throw this in here because every time I teach on this, I've had people come up to me and say, well, Pastor Mark, what about this? Well, what about this one? And I here's the deal. Guys, I know even in a crowd just this size that there's people in here that you've had some horrific things done to you. I'm looking through here and, based on the stats, somebody in here has been sexually abused. Could have been a family member, could not have been a family member. There's horrendous things that have been done to people. And so forgiveness, do you need to forgive that person? Yes, you do, and it's because you're not letting that person off the hook, okay? You're healing yourself. Forgiveness is self-love. That's why God wants you to forgive and walk in it. So here's what forgiveness does not mean. Forgiveness does not mean I lose the right of self-protection. And I'm going to give you an example of this. There was a person that I went to church with years ago that they were misconstrued about what forgiveness is. And so they kept forgiving this person, and this person just kept hurting them. And I finally, was like, okay, forgiveness does not mean that you lose the right of self-protection. You need to probably, forgive them, but you don't need to be getting back into that relationship because it was just a constant cycle of hurt. And so Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So forgiveness does not mean I lose the right of self-protection. God wants you to use your brain, amen? He wants you to take care of yourself. And maybe it's also a situation where you have to take care of family. So self-protection is a big deal. Okay, here's number two. Number two is forgiveness does not mean I have no basis for confrontation. So that just means, well, we forgive so we don't have to talk about it. No, there's been many times, and if you're married, you understand what I'm talking about. There's been many times where Jada has forgiven me, I have forgiven her, but we still need to talk about it. Amen. And so this is what the Apostle Paul talked about in Ephesians 4, verse 15. The Apostle Paul tells believers to speak the truth in love. Everything's got to be done in love. All right, number three. Number three, forgiveness does not mean there should not be punishment or consequences. All right, sometimes, somebody's been forgiven, but they may have to go to jail, because of the laws of the land. There's things like that. You can't walk around and say, I'm forgiven, so I don't need to suffer any consequences. No, there may be consequences that you have to go through. You're forgiven by God. Even in our walks with God, God forgives us. But if you've done something, that's going to cause you punishment or consequences, you may have to go through that. Okay? And then the last one, number four, is forgiveness does not mean I cannot seek legal or police protection. I try to think of examples in every one of these, but I had one happen this week of somebody, and I could tell that they were just wanting a pastor's point of view, really. And it was a situation involving real estate. And the person asked me, said, I'm a very forgiving person, and I want to help people. But I had somebody call me that wants to lease a place, and I did the background checks. He goes, I'm all for helping somebody that has a past, but this person had a recent past, like last week past. And so he was wanting my point of view. And I said, well, it's one thing, but it's one thing to help somebody out if they've had a past, but if they've had a recent past, I would go with your gut. Which basically I was telling him, go with the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was telling him. And what the Holy Spirit was telling him, don't rent, don't lease to this person. But he was having this battle on the inside of him because he's a Christian, he loves the Lord, he wants to help people. But, God, everybody understand what I'm saying? You just that you've got to use your head. You've got to use God's wisdom. Forgiveness does not mean that I cannot seek legal or police protection. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is what we're going to end with today. And if you're taking notes, I know some of you are, you can write down, there's going to be five more things I'm going to give you this morning. This is how to forgive from the heart. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm a Christian first. God called me to be a pastor, and I have been a pastor since I started in pastoral ministry, basically when I got saved in some form or fashion, so in 93, so that's 26 years that I'm going on. And guys, I still have to remind myself of this, because when things come up, and I want to hold a grudge or unforgiveness, I have to remind myself of, number one, our sins cost Jesus his life. It wasn't the Romans that put him on the cross. It wasn't the Jewish people. It wasn't the high priest. It was our sin that put him on the cross. And he willingly died for our sins. He was our substitute. He took our place. And everybody said, amen. Our sins cost Jesus his life. And so, and this goes with number two, God loves our offenders as much as he loves us. Here's something else that has helped me too, guys, is I dealt with a person this week that I could tell. And here's what I don't want to go into all the details, but what I have learned in dealing with people is that hurting people hurt people. And I knew this person has been hurt somewhere in her past, and I was just in her path that day. So I got the brunt of it. And sometimes you just want to tell people off, and just say, and I have to remind myself, tell them to go to heaven, tell them to go to heaven. But God loves, and you have to remember this, our sins cost Jesus his life. God loves our offenders as much as he loves us. All right, here's number three. So what we have to do is we permanently, and notice I've been using that word permanently a lot, because sometimes we can temporarily forgive, but you need to permanently forgive. We permanently release debt and judgment. And this is Romans 12, verses 17 through 19. It says, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. All judgment is the Lord's. All judgment is the Lord's. It's not even ours. I was watching Dateline the other night, and they had a murder case on there, and they were talking to I think it was the sister. Her sister was brutally murdered, and they were interviewing her. And I was just sitting there thinking about this message I was going to be sharing. And I was just like, how does she, and the interviewer asked her, said, do you wish the death penalty on this person? And she said, judgment is not mine. Judgment is not mine. And I was like, wow. But guys, she didn't say if she was a Christian, but I believe that she was a Christian because only Christians can say that. Is, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. God's the judge. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number four. We bless and pray for our enemies. We talked about this last week out of Luke chapter 6, and we kind of had a good time with it because we were talking about, and it says in verse 28, it says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. And sometimes, I've wanted to pray for people, and I'm like, God, I don't feel like praying for them. And I sure don't feel like blessing them. And God was like, Mark, I need you to start doing this. And so I started off with gritted teeth. God bless them. God, I just want to tell them to go to heaven. That was where I got that go to heaven. And here's what happened. As I began to do this, it seems like it's not a knee-jerk reaction. It has taken time for me to get to this point. But I have finally realized that I'm telling you guys, 99.9%, if not 100% of the time, they are hurt from something from their past. And they need Jesus, just like you need Jesus. And they're just a hurting person. And so let the Lord speak to you and help you to have his eyes and see them, you know, that they... Pastor Jimmy talks about, because I've been reading Pastor Jimmy's book on this and this overcoming life, and he talks about how he had a guy that was in their church that he said, I just started being a pastor. He was in his early 20s, and he said, I was at Trinity Fellowship Church, and they were wanting me to be their pastor at this church. But he said, I had one guy that was against me, and he said he was campaigning the whole church to be against me. And he goes, and I hated this man. He goes, I wanted to beat him up. I wanted to take him outside back of the church and beat him up. And he said he even came to one of our board meetings and came in the board meeting and basically gave this speech of why they shouldn't hire me as the pastor. And he goes, guys, I'm telling you, I had a hate for this person. He said one day the Lord began to speak this word to him, Luke chapter 6, about blessing him and praying for him. And he's like, I don't want to. I want him to leave the church. I want him to get out of here. So he said, I started praying for him. He goes, and it didn't happen overnight. And he said, but I began to bless him in that asterisk that I got down there, blessing our enemy forces forgiveness from our heads to our hearts. He said, as I began to do it by choice, by my will, he said, it started getting down in my heart. And he said, and one day God basically gave him a vision of something that happened to this guy when he was a little bitty boy. And it was definitely a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom from God. And he said, from that day forward, I was able to love that man and actually to help him later on. But he said, when you're doing that and asking the Lord to help you, he'll give you his eyes for that person. That person had been through some hurts and some pains. All right, here's number five. Number five is we resist the devil. You have to resist. Don't get deviled. Look at somebody and say, don't be deviled. Don't be deviled. This is Revelation 12, verse 10, calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. And I'm going to tell you something. Forgiveness is spiritual warfare. The number one door opener of the enemy into your life is walking in unforgiveness. The number one door opener for the Holy Spirit to work in your life is walking in forgiveness and love and grace towards other people. All right, look at the next slide. The next slide is, I'm going to give you some practical things on spiritual warfare. Don't go to bed angry. If you're married, don't do that, okay? And even if you're not married, don't go to bed angry because something may have happened in your day. Just don't do it. Don't go to bed angry. Talk to the Lord about it. Deal with offenses and hurts every day. Don't take up other people's offenses. Don't rehearse and nurse hurts. Don't rehearse and nurse it. Reverse hurts by forgiving, blessing, and loving your enemies. And don't justify unforgiveness, self-pity, or bitterness. Don't justify it. How many of you ever done that? Sitting around justify, I can justify this. I'm going to hold on to this one for quite a while. We can't do that, guys. We got it. This is just practical spiritual warfare. We need to release it every day. Okay, next slide. Here's some takeaways for today, guys. The poison of unforgiveness damages the vessel it is stored in. Don't ever forget that. I heard one person say one time that, unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and hoping the other person dies. It doesn't work that way. It gets you every time. It doesn't hurt the other person. Forgiveness does not make the offender right. It just makes you free. All right, remember that one, because I know there's some of you in here that's had some horrific things done to you or said about you or whatever. It doesn't make that other person right. It just makes you free to walk in forgiveness. And then the last thing is forgiveness is one of the most self-loving things we will ever do. And everybody said, amen. Did everybody learn something today? All right, can I pray over you? All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I'm going to pray this prayer over you. And I just want to say this, that I saw many of you taking notes, and I know I went through this because I share a lot and a lot of scripture. And so if you need this outline, just get with me and I can email it to you. But I want us all walking out of here today, and I hope this was revelation to you and that's going to help you. when you're dealing with things. Because I know, I mean, we all do. I do. You're gonna deal with things in your family. You're gonna deal with things on your job. You know, work. If you're dealing with people, you're gonna have to learn to walk in forgiveness, not walk in unforgiveness. And just the best thing that I can tell you today is just things are going to happen, but make sure you have dealt with it by the time you go to bed that night. And don't be deviled. If you don't take any other phrase from today, don't be deviled. And that means don't let him trick you into walking in anger and unforgiveness and hate and all that, because it wreaks havoc on you. And it wreaks havoc on the relationships that you're in as well. So I want to pray this over us, over myself as well. And this is just a prayer of releasing this. And Lord Jesus, if you're there with your family, I know that I see families sitting together. I want you all to just hold hands this morning. I see families sitting together this morning. I want you to hold hands with your family members, all right? And I just believe the Holy Spirit's just going to release the spirit of forgiveness in this house today. And bygones are going to be bygones. Today is going to be a new day. Today is going to be a fresh day. That you're just, you know, every day God says is a new day. But today is a new day, and I feel this so strongly that today is a new day in a lot of families in here today. It's going to be even a new day on your job tomorrow. Some of you have been having some issues with people at work, and it's just you're going to have a new likeness about you. You're not going to be, you know, burdened about going to work tomorrow because you're going to be walking in this forgiveness. So I'm going to pray this over you. Lord Jesus, help us to forgive and bless today rather than relive the hurts and the pains and the stress. Help us to forgive and bless one another in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm especially praying this over the families that are represented here today, over those that are watching by Church's Aid this morning and listening, that'll be listening to this on the radio as well. Lord, we're lifting up any bitterness or accumulated offenses to you. Lord, we even know how the enemy even can make up stuff in our minds, in our hearts, stuff that it's not even true, that's not even has happened, God, sometimes. And so, Lord, we're on to his schemes and his strategies. And so Father, we're lifting up any bitterness or accumulated offenses to you, God, and we're releasing them to you, into your hands today. We're releasing them into your throne room today. And God, we thank you that as we release, you're releasing grace, you're releasing forgiveness, you're releasing mercy, you're releasing love over every family in this house today, over every person in this house today. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you that I'm just sensing in my spirit today that minds and hearts are being renewed today. Where there was blackness, where there was hate, where there was bitterness, where there was resentment, God, you're pouring in your love and your grace and your mercy, God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're doing a deep work today. It's a work that none of us in here can see, but you're doing it in every heart in this place today. God, there's been some things that's happened years ago, God, that you've even tapped and said, hey, that's it. Let's let that go today. Let's release that today. And so, Lord, I thank you that there's release happening today in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that I just even feel in my spirit today that there's some people here today that this very week, they have released offense even towards you, God, because of something they thought that you allowed to happen in their lives. God, I thank you that they've been holding that against you, and God, they're releasing that today, and they're coming into a whole new relationship with you today. And God, I give you praise for that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. God, I thank you for your love that's just being shed abroad in our hearts right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I just speak blessings over everyone here today. God, bless them in every way. Lord, life is too short to walk in unforgiveness, way too short. And so, God, help us to remind that. Help us to remember the debt that was paid for us at the cross, God, and that we need to reciprocate that forgiveness towards others and that mercy. God, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Help us to walk in that kind of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. God, I bless your people today coming in here and going out today, God. I pray that they have a great day today with their families, and I pray that they have a great week this week. And I thank you and praise you that you're empowering them by your Holy Spirit to walk in forgiveness. And God, we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck, somebody in your family, somebody sitting next to you. Tell them how much you love them. And you guys have a blessed week. Love you guys. Go out of here walking in forgiveness.